Today we are on question number 9. But doesn't God do us an injustice by requiring in his law what we are unable to do? We learned last week that we are totally corrupted. Every aspect, every part of our mind, our wills, our hearts, our bodies. But is this unjust? Was it unjust for God to require of Adam and Eve something that it was impossible for them to do? This is a common question. I've thought this before. I know growing up, I've thought this before. Well, how could they not do this? Was God fair? But first of all, before we answer that, the question of Adam and Eve and their fall, I think there's actually another question within this question. I don't want to start breaking these questions down into multiple questions, or we'll be here for 4 or 5 years going through the Heidelberg Catechism. But I think that even the authors of the Catechism were asking this question, is God just, or is God fair? So we look at the first part of this question, but doesn't God do us an injustice? Thinking correctly about God, in this case, his attribute of justice or righteousness will help us not only today, but also with other questions that we may have in the future. I know even next week, question number 10, that this will come into play, God's justice. Is God just? Is God just 99% of the time, or was there one time when God wasn't just? Is he just in some of the things that he does and not just in others? Did God make a mistake in the Garden of Eden when he created Adam and Eve? Wayne Grudem defines the justice of God or the righteousness of God like this: God always acts in accordance with what is right and is himself the final standard of what is right. God's actions are always right, and he is the standard. He is our standard for what is right, for what is just or righteous. God's word is very clear. This verse here, I think, just spells it out better than any. Deuteronomy 32, verses 3 through 4. For I will proclaim the name of the Lord, ascribe greatness to our God, the rock. His work is perfect, for all his ways are justice. A God of faithfulness and without iniquity, just and upright is he. God is eternally committed to uphold his name, his reputation, who he is and what he has done. He has never, nor will he ever, do anything that is flawed, imperfect, or evil. God would never even desire to do a wicked act. Everything he has done in the past, everything he does today, everything he will do in the future is without iniquity, completely just and righteous. And in no way is he responsible for the wickedness nor the sin of man. Our God is holy, majestic, glorious, completely beyond reproach. He is righteous and just. He is the creator. We are the creature. The Lord challenges Job in Job 42. He says, shall a fault finder contend with the Almighty? Job answers back in verse 4, behold, I am of small account. What shall I answer you? I lay my hand on my mouth. Verse 9, God replies, have you an arm like God? God is both righteous, just. He is also omnipotent. God has the power to uphold his name eternally, and he will do just that. If God were not just, we would be creatures living in a state of utter despair and hopelessness. But we are not in that state, for he is a God of faithfulness and without iniquity. Just and upright is he. So going back to question 9, is God unjust, requiring in his law what we are unable to do? Like I said, I've asked this question myself. Was it fair for God to require Adam and Eve to do something impossible for them to do? That's how I always viewed the situation in the garden. I think that I always got off on the wrong foot, though, because I couldn't understand what Adam and Eve really, the condition that they were really in. I tried to compare it to my condition. It is important for us to understand that we cannot compare ourselves to Adam and Eve before they fell in the garden. We are corrupted by sin. They were born in true righteousness. They were created in true righteousness. I can not understand what that would be like. All I have ever known is a sinful nature, and I still struggle with that daily. So I cannot even comprehend what it would be like to be created or born in true righteousness. Genesis 1:31 says, "And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good." God did not create man with a sinful nature like we have. All that God created was good, and that includes the ability to obey his command not to eat the forbidden fruit. This command was possible for Adam and Eve to obey. God did not create them flawed without the possibility to obey. Why then did they disobey that single command? The question was, the answer to the Heidelberg Catechism question 9, they, however, tempted by the devil in reckless disobedience, did disobey. John 8:44, Jesus speaks of the devil. He was a murderer from the beginning and has nothing to do with the truth because there is no truth in him. Genesis 3:13, Eve, when questioned by God, responded, "The serpent deceived me and I ate." The serpent deceived them, yet they were responsible for their sin. The Westminster Confession of Faith clearly states that they were both under a possibility of transgressing, being left to the liberty of their own will, which was subject to change. And so in their disobedience, they robbed themselves and all their descendants of these gifts, of gifts of righteousness, fellowship with God, eternal life. Creatures, unlike God, are mutable. They are subject to change. Their will was free to choose, and they made a choice that would cost them dearly. So one final question, and I've thought this question before too, I must admit. Why do I have to pay for the actions of Adam and Eve? Why am I guilty because of what they did? Many protest, it's just not fair. How passionately and quickly man protests a perceived injustice done to himself. The imputation or passing on or transferring of sin from our appointed parent, Adam. How can this be? I've thought this before. I wasn't there. I had nothing to do with it. Why am I guilty? The real question that we should contemplate is not the fairness of the imputation of sin from Adam, but we should contemplate the imputation of the righteousness of Christ that sinners receive by faith in him. We should ask, how can this be? If ever anyone has been treated unjustly, it was Jesus in the hands of ungodly men. Jesus, the only truly just, righteous man, took upon himself our sins. We should be astonished by this. 2 Corinthians 5:21, "For our sake he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." Now here is something worth our thoughts and meditations. Yes, in Adam we all sinned. We must humbly accept this fact. But God did not leave us in this condition. Jesus, the just, bore our sins and then exchanged them for his righteousness, and in the process upheld the righteousness of God. Romans 3:25-26, Jesus Christ, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood to be received by faith. This was to show God's righteousness, because in his divine forbearance he had passed over former sins. It was to show his righteousness at the present time so that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. At the cross, the righteousness and justice of God were at stake, and Jesus upheld them flawlessly. God is just. We are guilty, but through faith in Jesus Christ, we can now be counted righteous.